Welcome to AM Best Audio.
I'm John Weber for AM Best TV, and we're at the Verisk Insurance Conference in Orlando. We've got a panel today to talk about fairness in insurance. They are Dr. Theresa Young, Senior Process Leader, CSAA Insurance Group, Steve Clark, Vice President of Government Relations for Verisk, and Mike Angelina, Executive in Residence for St. Joseph's University. And Steve, let's start with you today. Is insurance unfair?
John, insurance isn't unfair, but it does discriminate. The difference is it's fair discrimination. I think we'll all agree that a wood house is more susceptible to fire than a stone house. You know, a male driver tends to have a higher severity and frequency than a female driver, but that is fair discrimination. And you know, that's one of the big differences in this discussion is it's an established principle, you know, finds its body in statute and regulations, and that is the type of discrimination you see, fair discrimination.
Theresa, what are the concerns or challenges regarding fairness in insurance regulation?
You know, from a claims perspective, we're seeing a lot of regulations around how fast we have to settle claims, and sometimes those aren't reasonable, in my opinion, like 15 days to settle a catastrophe claims in some states, not give an advance, but settle. But that's creating some issues on, are we doing it fairly? Having to send out lots of notices, which is fine, but often the departments of insurance only give us 10 or 15 days to activate that, which I don't know if that's fair. But I think the biggest problem that we're seeing in the claims industry-wide is the lack of regulation from vendors, public adjusters, and service providers. So what is happening now is they're often triggering an appraisal process, and some of the states and courts have kind of nullified our contract by allowing appraisals to include coverage and not just scope of damages, which is leading to greater awards. And those were all higher severity claims than was probably contemplating in the pricing that we're doing. A lot of these changes, particularly in the vendor space, where many of the states don't even license their contractors, we don't have a remedy if we have a contractor that's pushing back, putting liens on people's homes when they're not being paid what they want to be paid instead of being paid industry. So if I'm having to pay more on claims for people who are using non-industry contractors, is that fair? And if I don't have a remedy to fight back against these, I don't want to say predatory, but these maybe higher end contractors, then I'm stuck kind of paying these claims. And is that fair? So I think having some support in the regulatory space around service providers and public adjusters to make sure that we're actually paying what is owed, the industry standard, and not more than that, would help in the fairness.
I think that's something, John, that goes right to what's going on right now at the NAIC and at the state level is a lot of the regulators are looking specifically at third parties that service the insurance industry, whether you be data and analytics providers like a Verisk or other third-party modelers and vendors. There's a lot of focus being put on them now, and there's going to be a lot of discussion over the next year as to how exactly do we regulate that part of the business, because you have to have proper governance around what you're doing in the AI and ML space. There has to be some testing, and then there has to be some accountability, and you can't, I think they're starting to realize, you can't come up with these tools and just release them in the wild and forget about them. You got to come back and make sure and test maybe a year later or 2 years later, you know, has the model started to drift? Are the answers still the same we expected to see? And that's where fairness and insurance is going to come in very, very hard.
Yeah, one thing to build on that is when you think of like fairness and insurance and pricing and premium, as an actuary by trade, when we think about what makes for a good premium, well, one, it has to cover the costs associated with this transfer of risk. We have to cover all of our costs, cost of capital, cost of expenses, cost of marketing, cost of claims. Secondly, you know, when we get into the idea of risk classification and risk segmentation, we need to make sure that there's a causal effect, right? We're going to charge, you know, there's a relationship between loss and the variable, the key rating variable. That could be territory, that could be risk classification, an 18-year-old male versus a 58-year-old male in terms of auto claims. And then lastly, we need to make sure that within the classification that we've picked up, that everyone is being treated fairly. And Adrian Cook said it at our session earlier this morning. He said, you know, Adrian Cook, who lives, you know, in territory XYZ and who's this age, the insurance premium should be blind as to whether it's a white Adrian Cook or an Asian Adrian Cook or a black Adrian Cook, right? We should be blind to all that. And that's kind of the work we're doing that we're seeing.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
So, Mike, who should decide what's fair then?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot there, and it's a bringing together multiple parties, right? Look, the actual community, we have standards around how we do risk classification, how we do pricing. In fact, the evolution we've seen within our practice, within our profession, has been, you know, our standards of practice are now using words that we didn't use before. We're using words like, you know, unintended biases, protected classes, in terms of providing guidance for our actuaries in terms of how we look on this and how we communicate this. Secondly, with the regulators, we really need to work with the regulatory body and make sure the regulators understand our pricing models, how insurance carriers are behaving, and what the effects are to consumers. And it goes back to what Steve said earlier about education. We really need to educate the public. One of the problems we have is, you know, insurance is not, the way to kill a conversation at a party is, hey, I'm an insurance business, right? But how do we make sure insurance is something for the good? And I think we do a lot of good things in our industry. And how do we better communicate that? And we talked about this at our session this morning. You know, the words we use in the insurance industry, right? Our insuring agreement is a promise, right? We make a promise to our carrier. When we settle claims, if we do it wrong, we're acting in bad faith, right? Trust, faith, promise. How do we get to be a trusted advisor again or a trusted industry? And I think that goes a long way into what Steve was saying earlier.
And I think at the end of the day, it's going to come down to a policy question. And, you know, insurance is regulated by the state, so you may have slightly differing interpretations, but they're going to have to decide, how do we come up with a definition that is understandable, can be applied consistently across the entire ecosystem? Because some of the terms, as Mike says, they're a little subjective. You know, what is disproportionate impact? You know, I don't know that that's a statutorily defined phrase or a concept that's got a body of regulatory law behind it. So, you know, eventually the policymakers, the regulators, the legislatures, with input from the industry, are going to have to figure out where that lane is.
Theresa, will technology play a role in shaping fairness in the insurance industry?
Absolutely, but I'm not sure which way it's going to go. My guess is it would go away from fairness at first, and then we'll eventually course correct back into fairness. I think the challenge, again, on the claim side, is that what's being utilized to develop the AI is data that's been entered in by claims professionals and estimates that have been written by a multitude of people, staff adjusters, field adjusters, vendors, and the like. These groups of people have not been very conscious, nor was it even in their job description to make sure that the coding was correct in the systems that is being translated into AI and algorithms and predictive analytics. When we have garbage going in, we're going to have garbage going out. We've also seen that the AI engineers, and we talked about this earlier, 90% of the AI engineers at Facebook are male, and 95% of the engineers are male at both Google and Microsoft. And less than 5% of them are black. So what you're getting into your AI is you're getting data, at least on the claim side, that is probably incomplete or miscoded, programmed by white and Indian men. And there's nothing wrong with white or Indian men, but if you have an overrepresentation of any group, you're going to be putting in the bias. I think that's something we need to work against.
And that's where governance is going to be so important. You can't just build this stuff, throw it out there, and let it go. You have to ask questions. You know, where is the data coming from? What are the risks? You know, what data is going into that model or into that AI? And that way you can start to evaluate the risks and adjust as needed. And that way, when you're introducing a new product, you've got some confidence that you've asked yourself all the right questions and that you've been transparent in what you're doing. And that'll start to build trust in AI and ML.
So Steve, how do we address the public policy issue of fairness in insurance then?
Well, there's where we're going to need some pretty clear guidelines. And I think it's got to be a discussion amongst all the stakeholders, the regulators, you know, the legislators, the consumer advocates. You know, they obviously have a voice in all this, as well as the insurance industry. And we have to come upon an agreed set of standards, like they're trying to do right now in Colorado with Senate Bill 169. They're looking at a lot of the fairness issues and protected classes. The discussion at the NAIC around the AI and ML model governance bulletins, third-party data providers. So there are many forums out there. We just have to come together and have what frankly is a difficult discussion, because you're going to have different opinions. You're going to have different inputs. But at the end of the day, we have to make sure we have confidence in what we're producing.
Yeah. And I think to make that confidence real is as we break down these silos, if you will, and bring groups together, it really starts with what problem are we really trying to solve, right? Let's not create a solution. Let's create a problem for a solution we've already established. Let's figure out what the problem is. Let's do the work. Part of it is do the work, get the data, do the analysis, and actually find out what the data is telling us. Have we captured the right data? What's it telling us? And then what's the outcome? And if we looked at this blindly, the data suggests X, and there's a public policy issue with X. And then, so if we can bifurcate the public policy issue from what the data is telling us, then we can address the public policy issue eyes wide open. And let's not be afraid to address the public policy issue. If we're going to subsidize people who live, you know, in flood-prone areas, let's agree that that's what we're going to do. And let's not hide it with something else. Let's actually agree to be transparent.
Great discussion. Theresa, Steve, Mike, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks, John. Always a pleasure.
And for AM Best TV, I'm John Weber.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.